reading to you from the 11th chapter of John in the 9th and 10th verse. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walketh in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. Energy and all, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 52 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and boy, howdy, I've been enjoying what I've been... I pastored, I worked full-time evangelism, I did radio and TV programs, but I have to tell you the truth. The joy of my life is prison ministries. Oh, my friends, we see hundreds and thousands of people saved every year in prison. Now, that's going to make us a better world to live in, I think. Well, listen, I'm going to be with you for a half an hour. I wish you'd kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of hot chocolate. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? I'd like to take my text from the 73rd Psalm, beginning with the 22nd verse. "So foolish was I and ignorant, why I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with the counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Well, friends, direction and destination. Now, there are two important questions we must consider. What shall I do with my life? Where will I go after life is past? Now, the psalmist had found the answers. His Lord would guide him through life. Afterward, he would be received to glory. Listen, how can we have the psalmist's assurance? Well, what does it say here? We must face, first of all, our faults. And we have faults, trust me. "So foolish was I, and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee." Well, the psalmist had foolishly focused on the faults of others. And he had envied the prosperity of the wicked. And I read in verse 1 and 12, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to as such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compassed them about as a chain. Violence covered them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more heart than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of full cups are wrung out of them. And they say, how doth God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Man alive. This guy, this psalmist, he envied the prosperity of the wicked. And friends, come on now. Let's face it. Let's you and I face it. We have too at times. Yes, we have. Even as a Christian, I had to fight that, because when I was pastoring a church in Anacortes, Washington, I received $100 a month. I had 5 children. And so I had an old beat-up truck and an old beat-up tar kettle, and I was out putting in roofs in order to supply my families what I wasn't getting from my salary. And sometimes I didn't even get that $100. Man alive. And I had, and there was a heathen roofing contractor in that town who was an alcoholic, and he was prospering, and he was getting all the work. And one night I came home from working all day, and I was beat, and I was tired, and I bowed my head, and I said, God, I need $12,000, and I don't know where to go but to you. You know what I need it for. I need a better truck. I need another tar kettle so that I can go out and compete with the world. Did you know what, my friends? I had that money within less than a month. And God let me work for it, but he let me work so I could get that money. Oh, friends, you know what? You can't outgive God. You sure can't. It tells us in the 16th verse here, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understand I therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou canst cast them down in destruction. How are they brought unto desolation? As in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one waketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant I was as a beast before thee. Well, friends, listen. He went into the sanctuary and looked to God. In looking to God, we see our need of him. Oh, dear friends, you know what it says here in Romans 3:10-23? It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the ways of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What's he saying? We are all sinners in need of salvation. Oh, there's so many wonderful people going to church every Sunday, going to Bible study, going to prayer meeting, and they really think they're serving the Lord, many of them are unsaved. Because they really believe that by going to church, reading their Bible, and Sunday school, that makes them a Christian. Oh, have I got a message for you. That doesn't get you into heaven. Oh, no. No, you can't get to heaven that way. Prosperity means nothing when we are perishing. Facing our sin produces repentance and faith. And you know, the psalmist shows how faith and grace prevailed, according to Matthew Henry. We must be grateful for God's guidance. Now, what did he say? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, my dear friends, there's no name given under heaven whereby man must be saved except Jesus. People are not talking about Jesus. People are praising their churches. People are praising their preachers or Sunday school teachers. Well, why don't you praise the Lord? Because he's the one that makes it possible. The presence of God is greater than the pleasures of this world. I can say amen, amen, and amen. When I was out in the world drinking and carousing, I thought I was having a good time. But when I laid down at night, dear friends, I knew I wasn't having a good time. I'd pray that God would take the alcoholism away from me. Yes, I did. And I'd think, well, maybe tomorrow I'll wake up and this monkey will be off my back. Oh, listen. Those who trust in Christ are never, never alone. He said, I am what? Continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Oh, friends, we can constantly live in the knowledge of God's presence. Do you know what he says in Matthew 28:20? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. He said in Hebrews, I will never forsake thee or leave thee alone. Friends, God's guidance is given to those who trust him. Now, if you've not been born again, this might be a little strange to you. Say, well, why should I trust him? Well, if you haven't trusted him, you don't know him. Trust means you've committed your life to him. You've been born again. Thou shalt guide me by thy counsel. Do you know what, friends? The first thing that happens when men are sick or something, they go to a doctor. But did you know when you need guidance, sometimes you go to a friend, but the Bible says that we need to go to the Lord. We need counsel with God. The guidance of God determines the direction of our lives. Listen, we must grasp the guarantee of glory. And I read in verse 24 and 25, being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Oh, my dear friends, listen to me. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. People are troubled. Go to our mental hospitals. Go to our hospitals. Go anywhere. Go to our prisons. You'll find troubled, troubled people. Did you know, and I'll tell you the truth, did you know when you go to mental hospitals to visit with those dear people, 90% of them, I guess, are religious but lost. They had a smidgen of religion. They had a spasm, but they had not turned their life over to God. Now listen, and afterward, receive me to glory. The psalmist was sure what was ahead. Oh, friends, how great to know the best is yet to come. Oh, yes, it is. Afterward, blessed word, we can cheerfully put up with the present when we foresee the future and know that is bright. You know who said that? C.H. Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers God has ever put on this earth. Afterward, we can cheerfully but put up with the present when we foresee the future and know that is right. That's what we tell the men and women in prison. Hey, just because you're in prison don't mean your life is over. In fact, the matters, I'll go one step further. I would say your life your life can start right here in prison. The day I told Jesus I was sorry for my sins and invited him to my heart to be my Lord and Savior, I knew what life was about. I knew God had a purpose for my life. I went home to my wife, who cried many nights, cried her heart out, because her wayward husband was out drinking, boozing. I wanted to go home and tell her, oh, Jean, it's over with. I'm not drinking anymore because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. But at first she didn't believe me. And I can understand that. Sure I can. But after she saw the tremendous change in my life, she knew I had something that was real. I quit drinking. I started asking the blessing at the table. I went to church and Sunday school every Sunday. I got a Bible and I studied that thing day and night. I called my deacon. I called our deacons and our preachers and Sunday school teachers to tell me the answers to some of the problems because I hadn't grown very much. Oh, my stars. And she saw that and she said, something has happened to my husband. What has changed his life? Well, it was Jesus. That's what changed my life. Not my church, not my preacher, not my Sunday school teacher, but Jesus. He and him alone. Friends, listen. We can experience the Lord's direction every day if we'll let him. You know what? You know, there. I don't believe that the Bible anywhere and teaches sinless perfection. But if you want to be sinless or like to be, try to be sinless, before you make any decision, you seek counsel of the Lord. And we wouldn't sin, but we don't do that. I don't care how close you're walking with Jesus, you don't do that. None of us do. But one thing for sure, we can be sure of heaven since Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. This is written, 1 John 5:13. This is written that you may know that you have passed from death unto life. When you invite Christ into your heart, he performs a surgery on your heart, removes the heart of stone, and inserts a heart of flesh. Then you can understand. See, if you're lost, you cannot understand this book. I don't care how you try, you can't understand it. Because the Spirit of God does not live in your heart. And see, when you invite Christ to your heart, the Holy Spirit lives in your heart. He directs us, if we'll let him. He'll counsel with you, if you'll let him. How many times you've been in a trouble and you didn't know what way to go, didn't know the way to turn? Well, if you bow your head right there and say, Lord, I need some direction. I need some guidance. And you know what? Strange as it may seem, he'll give it to you. Why? Because you're one of his children. Listen, if your little girl or your little boy called me and said, Preacher, I'd like to have you buy me a pair of shoes. Well, I'd say, well, honey, you're not mine. I'd be glad to do it. But you have a dad and a mother, and you ask them because you belong to them. When you're born again, you are born into the family of God by the new birth. And then you can ask whatever you want. Now, I want you to know about prayer. God always answers our prayer, not always in the way that we would like to have them, but he'll always answer our prayer. And you know what? When you're praying, there is no busy signal between here and heaven. No, there's not. There's no busy sign. You heard about the guy calling the counseling service. He was going to commit suicide, and they put him on hold. God won't put you on hold. I don't understand, beloved, how he can hear millions of people praying all the time, day and night. He hears every one of them, and he answers every one of them, not in according to what we want sometimes, but he always answers them, because he's a righteous God. He's everywhere. He knows what you're hurting about tonight. He knows if you're financially hurt. You know what? Someone told me, Cecil, I don't like to ask God for help. Well, why not? He's your Father. You have a right to ask him. Come boldly before the throne of grace. You sure can. You sure can. And that's why we love to talk about our personal Savior. Because it is personal. You have a relationship. When you go with a girl, when you get married, you have a relationship. That's why I've always been so troubled about these young men and women shacking up. I never could understand that. Why can't they do like God said and get married under the law in the Lord and put Jesus ahead of their family? Now, I'm not going to tell you once you become a Christian, all your problems are dissolved. I would be a liar. And I'm not going to tell you that after you become a Christian, you're not going to have financial problems, spiritual problems, physical problems, health problems. I'm not going to tell you that, because I'd be a liar. You're going to have these problems. But without Christ, you have got nobody to walk with you. No one to comfort you. Well, dear friends, I think I've said enough tonight. I want to ask you, where do you stand with Jesus tonight? During this holiday season, wouldn't it be good if you'd let Christ come into your heart and save you? See, he won't force himself on you. No, he won't. He will not force himself on you. The only way that you'll be saved if you ask him. You don't have to beg. You just tell him you're a sinner, ask him to forgive you, and he'll give you that new life. If you got a tugging at your heart tonight, would you like to bow your head? Aren't you tired of your wasted life? No rhyme, no reason, no purpose? Let Jesus come in, and here's how the prayer goes. And don't pray it unless you mean it. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll forgive my sins. And Lord, I'm turning my back on the old way of life, and I'm inviting you in to be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone. I want you to call me. I want you to call me. I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I just want to see you in heaven. 303-471-8534. Don't put this off. Don't boast yourself of tomorrow, because tomorrow may never come. Thank you.
Yes, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Please pray for my health and pray for my wife and my quartet as we go to... You know, folks, I feel like $100. I don't know how $100 feel, but I sure feel good. I really honestly do. And I've got a joy deep down in my heart because I know when God comes me home, I'll have a home forever. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors and stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.